Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
We are a little over 3 weeks into the new year, 22 days into the new year. You don't have to share if you don't want to, but I'm going to throw it out there. How are you doing on your resolutions? First of all, did anyone make any New Year's resolutions, and how are you doing?
I made resolutions.
How are you doing on them?
I made a resolution not to have any resolutions.
Not to make any resolutions. That's either smart or it's a cop-out. Either way, you want to look at it. Did anyone make a resolution and maybe it didn't go as planned? All right. Hang in there. Hang in there. Any resolutions? Yeah? You want to share? Still working on it? Good. Here's the thing about resolutions. I think they're good. I think we do need to set goals for ourselves. I think if you don't know where you're headed, you don't know if you're going to get there or not. So I think goals are good. I think resolutions are good. I think you need to sit down by yourself somewhere and map out the year. What I like to do is I like to break it up into quarters. And so the first quarter, January, February, March, I've got some goals. And then after the quarter's up, I reevaluate how am I doing, and then I set new goals or make adjustments in the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. That breaks up the year into manageable sizes. But here's the thing about resolutions. Because it's about this time of year, however well-intentioned our resolutions are, this is about the time of year where things maybe go south. I've seen that a little bit with a couple of my resolutions. I've been doing pretty good, but this is the time where you really have to buckle down. Because if you want to stick with your goal, you've got to really be intentional about it. But here's the thing about resolutions. However good and important I think goals are, they typically start with me. I want to do this. I am going to set about doing that. And it's not a bad thing. You have to be self-aware enough of where you're at in life and where you want to go. And that's a good thing. The problem with focusing on me, though, is that we are human. We are imperfect. We are fragile. We are weak. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak, right? And so as we are in this new year, I want us to focus on what God has resolved for you. Because if we are grounded in what God wants for you, then you know you can't go wrong. Because however well-intentioned resolutions may or may not be, God's resolution for you, God's plan for you in this new year, filled with new possibilities, what God desires for you is ultimately what matters. And so to conclude this series that we've been in since the beginning of the year that I've called New Year, New Possibilities, I want to preach to you this morning from Jeremiah chapter 1. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. And this message I'm calling the eyes of the Lord. Now, not these kind of eyes, although the Bible does talk about the eyes of the Lord. I want to talk about the eyes of the Lord, what he declares for his people, what he declared for a young man named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a young man who God had very specific resolutions for. But I believe these principles that God clearly conveyed to Jeremiah is applicable to every single one of us in this room. I believe these resolutions that God has for Jeremiah are universal. So I want to look at the eyes of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1. And we're just going to start at verse 1 and go through verse 10. Jeremiah is one of the major prophets in the Bible. It's one of the larger books. There was a lot going on in the history of God's people. But God raised up this young man to be his spokesperson, to be his prophet, in a very troublesome time in the history of God's people. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the prophets at Anthona in the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year in the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 7th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Aren't you glad I didn't have Mako read that portion of scripture? Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, now pay attention to the eyes of the Lord. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Verse 6. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Verse 9. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. God, we may have good goals and resolutions and plans for ourselves. They may be good, but what ultimately matters is what you have for us. And maybe there's someone here today and we're a little over 3 weeks into the new year and they're still not quite certain of the direction their life needs to go. Maybe they haven't sat down by themselves to think about what it is that they should be doing with their life or the direction they should be headed and what they should be accomplishing. I pray, God, that this message that you clearly gave to a young person named Jeremiah will resonate with all of us, but especially with the young people here today. That we don't have to go through life just floundering and trying to get by, but we can live with intentionality and with a laser focused direction in life because we have our clear resolutions and directions from you. And so may these words be encouraging to someone here today as they were to a young Jeremiah many, many years ago. In your name I pray. Amen. The eyes of the Lord, very pronounced here in Jeremiah chapter 1. The very first one here, God says to a young Jeremiah, and he's saying to you and to me, I formed you. I think that's where we need to begin. We need to begin with a fundamental understanding that it is God who formed you. It is God who fashioned you. It is God who created you just the way you are. Maybe you're like me and there are parts of your personality that you don't get, you don't appreciate, you don't like. I know there are aspects about me that I don't like, you know? And I wrestle with that. And I've had to come to terms, I think like all of us do, that God created me precisely how He wanted me to be. And so I've got to stop comparing myself with Mike or with Gene or with Tim and some of their qualities and say, man, I wish I was more like that or I wish I was more like this. I have got to learn to embrace who I am because it is God who formed me. It is God who fashioned you. So come to terms with it. And you know what? Someone may not like some aspect of your personality, but who cares? It's your life. It's the life that God gave you. It's the way He made you. God formed you and God fashioned you. So embrace your personality. Embrace your strengths and embrace your weaknesses. Embrace who you are, because as the adage goes, God don't make mistakes. He doesn't make junk. He knows exactly what He was doing when He created you just the way you are. The psalmist David understood this. If you want to look with me at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 13. He too had to wrestle with this. With all his strengths and with all his weaknesses, the psalmist David had to come to terms with the fact that God formed him and fashioned him just how he was to be. And this is what he says in Psalm 139, verse 13. And you have to remember, this was Hebrew poetry. This was probably a song. He probably sang this to himself and to the assembly. And so think of this as a poem, as a song, as something to celebrate. For you created my inmost being. He's talking directly to the Lord. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Next time you're staring in a mirror, and maybe you're not happy with what you see, remember the words of Scripture. I praise you, not yourself, you're praising God, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know, these three boys we just baptized, they're brothers, but they're different. But they're similar, but they're different. We are in many ways very similar. Even with all of our divergent views, we're probably more similar than we'd like to admit. But we're also different. And so let's embrace our similarities. Let's embrace our differences. Because God knows exactly what He's doing when He knit us together in our mother's womb. And each one of these boys, they have their own unique personality. And it is fun to see them. But God knows what He's doing when He fashioned each of us. God says to Jeremiah, I formed you. Please know that your life has purpose. Too many people in our culture have no clue that their life has divine purpose. And God says clearly to Jeremiah and to us that we have divine purpose. The next I of the Lord, spoken directly to Jeremiah, He says, I know you, or I knew you. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knows everything about you. Even those secrets that are hidden deep in the recesses of your heart that you will not allow anyone to know anything about, God knows everything about you. Jesus said it this way, our Father in heaven knows even the number of hair that's on our head. God knows you. But here's the thing. God knows everything about you and loves you anyway. That's pretty amazing. If other people knew the stuff that you're trying to hide, they may not like you. God knows everything about you and loves you anyway. You know that song we sing as kids? Sometimes we sing in church. Jesus loves me, this I know. Right? You know that song? Jesus loves me, this I know. I want to switch two words around in that simple kid song. Jesus knows me, this I love. Isn't that cool? You switch just those two words around, it makes a profound difference. Jesus loves you, this we know, absolutely. But Jesus knows us and loves us anyway. Amen? Take comfort and knowledge and assurance that God formed you. He knows you better than you even know yourself. And he has a plan and a purpose for you. The next thing the Lord says directly to Jeremiah in verse 5, he says, "Before you were born, I set you apart." Wow. That right there is the very definition of holiness. To be holy means that you are set apart for God. And even before Jeremiah was born, God is saying, before your very birth, before you took your first breath, before you said your first word, before you took your first step, I set you apart to be mine exclusively. That's what it means to be holy. God himself is holy. That means he is different. He is set apart from anything in this world. And he's different and set apart from all of creation. So God is in a category all his own. He is holy. But he calls us to be holy. And he sets us apart for his purposes. And so what God is saying here to Jeremiah is, I don't want you to be like everybody else. I want you to be holy and set apart for me. There's a huge craze going on right now of genealogy and ancestry type stuff. And it's really easy now. You can go online and order a kit, and I don't know all that they do it, but genealogy studies, ancestry studies are becoming very, very popular. And some of you may have done that. I know Renee has dabbled a little bit into that to see, you know, family origin kind of stuff. What if you did a ancestry test, a genealogy test, however they do it, and what if you find out that several generations ago you had royalty in your lineage? How cool would that be? Let's say you discovered, you know, however many years ago, however many generations ago, you know, someone in Scotland that you were remotely related to was a king or a queen. How cool would that be? Well, what God is saying here is, I'm setting you apart. You're holy. You belong in my lineage. And so you are royalty. We exclusively belong to God. He has set us apart for himself. So you want to be different? Be holy. Know that you belong to God. Know that he's handpicked you for himself. And what reassurance that must have been to a young Jeremiah to say, wow, God has set me apart from all these cultures around me to be reserved exclusively for him. And this resolution that God says to Jeremiah, he says to you. He has called you to be set apart, to be different, to be holy. You belong exclusively to him. Then God says, at the end of verse 5, as one of the eyes of the Lord, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So here we have God saying to a young Jeremiah, I formed you. You're here because of me. I know you. I know you better than you know yourself. I have set you apart from anyone and everyone else exclusively for me. And now I have a mission for you. I have appointed you. And in Jeremiah's case, it was to be a prophet. It was to speak for God as a prophet to the nations. And if you read the rest of Jeremiah, you see that God indeed used him to be a spokesperson to the nations. Now, God may not be calling you or appointing you to be a prophet or a pastor or a preacher or missionary, but God has something for you. If he has set you apart to himself, God has a calling upon your life. What is that one main thing that God has for you? Because everyone has at least one. Maybe more, but everyone has at least one. There is that one thing that God has called you to. And if we can discover that and live that out, you are living God's purpose for you. All that sounds good. You got to remember, Jeremiah is a young man. He's still uncertain of himself. And so he comes back to God with a couple of eyes of his own. And he says in verse 6, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak." Oh. God, you've appointed me to be this prophet, to be this great spokesman. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I never went to school for this. I do not know. We've all been there. When God called me to be a pastor when I was a kid, I knew that call was clear, but I didn't know. I didn't know anything. I'm still learning and growing. Some of you are sitting there saying, he still doesn't know anything, you know? We've all been there. God, I don't know. Reminds me of the story of Moses in the book of Exodus. When God did something very similar with Moses, God reminded him that he had called him and formed him and has a purpose for him. And then he says, Moses, I want you to go take on the Pharaoh. And Moses is like, I don't know how to speak. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm just a nobody, and you want me to go up against the most powerful king, the most powerful nation in the world? Sorry, God. I don't know what I'm doing. Please pick someone else. And the Bible actually says that God got angry with Moses because God knew exactly what he was doing. In Moses' makeup, God knew that Moses had exactly what was needed to confront the Pharaoh and to deliver his people. And so when God calls you and appoints you and asks you to do something, you may be like, oh, I don't know. This isn't for me. But who are we to argue with God? Because he knows how he made you. And so if he called you to this, he knows that it's within you to be able to fulfill the calling that he has for you. This is a new year with new possibilities. And if you can discover what God has for you to be doing, and he's got something for everyone, and you live that out, even with uncertainty, God will guide you. He will empower you, and you will fulfill what he put you on this earth to do. Jeremiah's first, I don't know, doesn't wash with God. His second, I don't know, was, I am only a child. Yes, he was. God, I'm just a kid. I'm just a young man. How am I going to be a prophet to the nations? I am only a child. But you know what? God has a way of calling young people to do amazing things for him. I'm reminded of a young man in the New Testament who had very similar emotions as Jeremiah, and his name was Timothy. And he was being mentored by an older, seasoned believer named Paul. And Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech. So just as God called Jeremiah to speak, God called Timothy to speak, God calls all of us to speak the words of God. Set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, especially yourself. Don't look down on yourself because you say, I'm young, I'm inexperienced, I don't know what I'm doing. God knows that. But he will guide you. And he will lead you. In other words, there's no excuses with God. God comes back with three more I statements. He says, you must go to everyone I send you. So God comes back and says, Jeremiah, I know you're feeling this way, but I'm sending you. I need you to go. I need you to be obedient to what I have for you. Remember a prophet named Jonah? Very similar situation. God told Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. I'm sending you to Nineveh to proclaim a message of repentance. I'm sending you. You must go, Jonah. And Jonah said, okay, God, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. Right? No, that's not what he did. He was disobedient and he went the other way. And his life was miserable until he came to his senses and he said, I need to do what God tells me to do. And so God, again, is reinforcing to Jeremiah, all these things I have for you, I'm sending you. Go. Live in obedience. Then God says, I send you and I need you to say whatever I command you. Be obedient, Jeremiah. This is not your life. This is my life through you. Do what I ask. And you know what, guys? If we are obedient to God and we do what he asks, life goes so much better than when we live in disobedience. And then finally, God says to Jeremiah, which is perhaps the most important, verse 8 of Jeremiah chapter 1, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is with us. He's with you. He will never leave you or forsake you, and he will rescue you. In other words, when you live out God's calling on your life, you're going to run into trouble. There's going to be bumps along the way, maybe major issues. But God is with you, and he will rescue you through every obstacle you face. Guys, these are the eyes of the Lord. They were true for Jeremiah. They were true for Moses. They were true for Jonah. They were true for Timothy. We can go through every character in the Bible. They are true for you. This is a new year filled with new possibilities, goals, resolutions, plans, all good. But what we really need to embrace is what God has for you. Amen? Father, the words, the I am statements of Jeremiah are applicable to us today. And I pray that as we are still in this first month of this new year, still trying to figure out what you have in store for us, that we will be attentive to your voice, that we will know that you have formed us, that you know us better than we know ourselves, that you have set us apart to be different from this world, and that you have called us, appointed us, to do a specific work for you.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.